Who tried whom? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine wisdom to help us with this precious word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we want to continue to look at the interaction between Jesus, the Son of God, and Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem. We're finding ourselves now on Good Friday, on the day on which Jesus was crucified, and it was early in the morning when Jesus was taken to Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of the Jews, and Jesus said, "Thou sayest it." Then others began to examine Jesus, but Jesus would not answer a word in his own defense. Pilate had a few more questions. Finally, to appease the people, Pilate had Jesus scourged and crucified. So in Mark 15, we have the story in the words of Mark. It says, a crowd was crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now coming to the trial where Pilate tried Jesus, I would say that there were actually seven other or altogether trials in this Passion Week in the last 5 days. There was the trial of Judas, the trial of Peter, the trial of the Sanhedrin, which consisted of the high priest, the Pharisees, of the councils, and others. This Sanhedrin was the governing body of 71 Jews. Then there was a trial of Annas, the retired high priest. Then there was a trial of King Herod, and the trial of Pilate, and the trial of the people. Now let's focus in on Pilate trying Jesus. If you really look below the surface, you will notice that actually Pilate was being tried by Jesus and not Jesus being tried by Pilate. Ultimately, we who try Jesus will be tried by Jesus, because Jesus will have the last word about our eternal destiny. So it was not Pilate, and it is not us who have the keys of heaven and hell, it is Jesus. Yet for the moment, in the scriptures, it looked very dark for Jesus. Sin, hatred, resentment, and anger had invaded the hearts of the people and had infected, corrupted every trial that was taking place, every one of those seven I mentioned. Though Jesus looked bad then in terms of the trials, I want you to know now, in retrospect, we can say this: Judas was guilty, Jesus was innocent. Peter was guilty, Jesus was innocent. Annas, the high priest, was guilty, Jesus was innocent. The Sanhedrin was guilty, Jesus was innocent. King Herod was guilty, Jesus was innocent. Pilate was guilty, but Jesus was innocent. The people were guilty, but Jesus was innocent. Oh, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, behold him. He alone was pure and perfect in every way, and what all did he have to endure to pay for our salvation, to remove our guilt and sin? Now, the key issue of the Jewish trial was blasphemy. That is, the Jews said that anyone who made himself equal with God needs to be killed. Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God, so that was a religious trial with the Jews. Now, the key issue of the Roman trial was political, was rebellion, and Jesus said he was a king, so that was a political trial. Blasphemy meant nothing to Pilate, but somebody claiming to be a king anywhere in the Roman Empire who was not appointed or approved to be a king by Rome, by Caesar, that was rebellion and had to be dealt with. So after Pilate had examined Jesus, Pilate, the governor, the commander, came up with a verdict that was different than anyone else's verdict. And you find that verdict in the 23rd chapter in the Gospel of Luke, and I want to read it to you. It says there in verse 4, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people," in other words, to all the Jews, "I find no fault in this man." The Gospel of John puts it stronger in the 18th chapter, verse 18, where it says, "I find no fault with him at all." That's what Pilate said. Pilate had watched Jesus' life. He was acquainted with his teachings. He knew all about the great miracles he did in those 3 years. Scholars tell us that Pilate had reporters, informers, that would track Jesus, what he said, what he did, and then report back to him. And that's obvious because you have to remember that Pilate was responsible for anything going on in the three provinces he had charge over, the province of Judea, Idumea, and Samaria. Scriptures tell us at one point that the whole world had gone after Jesus. And you have to watch such a man, don't you? So when you are a governor, my friend, over a country responsible for peace, and the whole world goes after one man, his teaching, then naturally you would get a little nervous. But when Pilate put it together, all together, all he heard and knew after these 3 years, and after examining Jesus and seeing that Jesus did not respond to his accusers, and after his wife in the middle of the trial came to him and fell at his feet and talked about a dream, a vision she had concerning Jesus, Pilate decided that Jesus was innocent, absolutely innocent. So Pilate gave his verdict. "I find no fault in this man," to the priests, to the people, and he washed his hands in innocence. At first sight, now, it makes Pilate look a lot better than the rest of the people. But my friend, I want you to look at this governor a little closer at this time, because under the surface, Pilate did not look good at all. He looked so much like many of us. He looked like a man who was surely on his way to perish forever. Let's look at the startling fact of the multitude who called Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas was to be set free, who said, "Crucify him, crucify him." The multitude who wanted Jesus to be crucified, my friend, did not know who Jesus was. Jesus said of them on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So they are the ones who were innocent and ignorant. They did not know who Jesus was. They did not know what they were doing. But Pilate, my friend, knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was totally innocent. He knew that Jesus was of God, and yet despite knowing he was innocent and of God, Pilate ordered Jesus to be killed, to be crucified. Pilate violated Roman law, and he violated his conscience. So Pilate became chaff in the hands of the multitude who said, "Crucify him, crucify him." While Jesus was dying to save the world, Pilate was sacrificing the innocent Jesus in order to save himself. Scholars tell us that there were only a few soldiers at the fortress of Antonio at Pilate's disposal. If Pilate would have took a stand with Jesus, the mob may have overrun the fortress of Antonia and killed every Roman, including Pilate himself. So, when it came right down to it, my friend, when it came to the time when Pilate would take a stand for Jesus and risk his life for the truth, he was a coward. He was like Peter, who tried to save himself, and he forsook his responsibility to stand with the truth. Now, I'm not saying that you or I would have done any better. We don't know. That's not the point. What I'm trying to say is that it is dangerous for us to elevate Pilate, because if we are like him, or if we become like him, we are not disciples of Jesus. Nobody can be a disciple of Jesus who tries to save himself as Pilate did. Now, some people come back and say, "Now, Pastor Schulze, didn't Jesus say that Pilate's sin was not so bad?" Let me take you to the passage and get it right from the Word of God. We're in John chapter 19 now, verse 11. Jesus answered to Pilate, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that has delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." There you have it. Well, who is he that delivered Jesus, my friend, but Judas? And Judas, Jesus says, has a greater sin than Pilate. And we know that Judas had come to the point of no return, that Jesus said of him, it would have been better if Judas would never have been born. So the sin of Pilate is not standing up for the truth. Knowing that Jesus was innocent, my friend, was just one notch below the sin of Judas, who was possessed and indwelled by the devil. Oh, my friend, don't talk so highly about Pilate, because if you do, you're likely to think if you're doing what he did, you're going to be all right. You will not be all right, because Jesus said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me on earth, I will be ashamed of him in heaven. And that is actually what Pilate did. He was ashamed of standing with Jesus, and he was afraid to give his life for Jesus' sake. He was more interested in saving his life than in saving Jesus. Oh, let us not be like that. What a dark future we have if we, when we come to a time of crisis, when our job, our reputation, our life is at risk, and we do not stand up for Jesus, but rather we crucify Jesus again and put him to an open shame in order to save ourselves. What a dark future is ahead for us if we do such a thing. There is no room in the kingdom of God for silent Christians who say nothing when a word for Jesus needs to be spoken, especially in public. Yes, Pilate's sin was not equal to Judas's, who was filled with the devil, but it was just a notch below that. But what Jesus did in saying this to Pilate, that Judas had the greater sin, was what he needed to hear, and what we all need to hear, that Jesus, despite the times we fail him, we fail to stand up for him in school, at college, or at work, that Jesus reaches out his hand to us in order to grant us forgiveness if we confess our sins and repent and let him be the Lord of our lives. So in the final analysis, this whole trial business, my friend, was not so much about Jesus being tried, but everyone, including us, being tried for our faithfulness to God. Pilate knew who Jesus was, and he did not stick up for him publicly. You know who Jesus is. Let me ask you, are you sticking up for him publicly, even if it will cost you dearly? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you gave us together today, and we pray that you will inspire us and convince us and convict us to be strong soldiers of the cross. Wherever we are, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio message. Tune in again next week. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until then.